Hello, beautiful people of my YouTube channel. Alright, today I am doing my third video of the 100 day content challenge, and I'm really excited for the topic that we're going to talk about today. Everything that has to do with starting a business, running a business, you know, all the things in between, the growth, the challenges. I'm going to talk also about the nervous system regulation. I feel like I can speak so fast just because I'm so excited, but I'm going to actually, you know, okay, let me just get grounded. But I've prepared my notes here, so if you see me looking at this thing from time to time, it's because I have a couple of, you know, key points that I want to make sure I touch upon. So this video is really for you if you are somebody who is currently wanting to start your own business or you're currently running your own business. And you know, I believe that what I'm about to share is going to resonate with a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs, business owners, because we all have to deal with the challenges of emotional management, time management, finances, and all of those things, you know. So that's the thing that I'm going to really share in depth today, everything that I have gained for the past year of running my own business. So let's get started. So first things first, let's talk about starting a business. What it means to start a business and how, like, you know, on how to start a business, yeah? So I'm not giving you the step-by-step, like step one, step two, step three. That's not what we're doing here. What I'm going to be sharing is really the emotional process of starting a business. Because what I find is you can find all of the steps, like step 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, up, out on the internet very frequently. What stops us most of the time is actually our emotional blockages, right? There's fear, there's, you know, there's so many things that can prevent us from going for it. So let's talk about those. So starting a business, what does it mean to start a business? I think the first thing first is that you want to ask yourself, what is the meaning and the significance of starting this business for me? Because behind every idea, every product, every service, every entrepreneur is a, you know, something like a burning desire, a kind of depth, a kind of significance for them. And you want to get in touch with that and really allow that to sit in your body and allow it to speak to you. What is it guiding you to do? Right? What is it show, like what way, what pathway is it showing you? And that's really the key, because if you're, how, whatever the intention that you're starting your business with, and as it manifests, that is going to be the outcome that you're going to reap, right? Whatever seed you sow is the fruit you're going to reap. So, you know, I've seen people starting businesses for the wrong reason. For example, now it's not wrong in the sense of right or wrong morality. It's more so wrong in the sense that it wasn't aligned for them. So if people start, right, if you start your business with the idea that this is something I should be doing, this is something that everyone is doing, so I should be doing it in order to make money, that might not be the best thing, because you might end up losing your passion, you might end up losing creativity, whatever that is down the road. But if you have the idea of, I want to start this thing, it feels like it's a really good opportunity for me. It feels like this is something that I could see myself really devoting my time, my energy to, something that I feel would be really nourishing for me, would be giving me a lot of growth, and also it has a lot of good market potential, right? Because at the end of the day, a business is not a hobby. It is, you do have to sell your products and services. So if you were to do something where you cannot sell it, then it's just kind of your hobby and your passion. So that's also another distinction between something that is a personal hobby and then something that is a business or a career path. Because of course money is important, right? Being able to make the money to pay for our, you know, expenses, daily living expenses, our desires, our needs, those things are all important. And hobbies that are unpaid cannot support us in our lives. So when we decide that we want to start a business, it does have to have some sort of financial opportunity and capacity there for us. So that's that's on starting a business. And what I really see is starting a business is really a game of courage. Why do I say that? Because I think the first business that you officially start is probably the scariest one. Like, you've never had your experience before, you've never started a business, you don't know what everything kind of entails, so you're kind of really just putting yourself out there in the wild, right? And that could be the most scariest things, and it could also, you know, put you in the land of, you know, a lot of the unknown, making mistakes, things that you don't know that you don't know. But it is also one of the most exciting time. Like, I think starting your business, the first type of business, is the one of the most exciting thing, because generally it is fueled by the things that you are drawn to. You know, people call it passion. It can generally be even things that you're interested in, things that you're just naturally drawn to, right? Things that you're attracted to. So there's a lot of excitement in that. And I really see that as a game of courage, because really what you really need to do is to just take the first step and actually do the thing that would get this started. So it depends on the business that you're building. If you're, let's say, you know, I was in the product business before, right? The first step would have been researching the product, right? Researching the market, kind of drafting an idea of what it is that I'm creating, finding suppliers, contacting suppliers, getting the right prices, finding the right platform to sell the products on, you know, having marketing plans. Like, all of those things are the things that you're going to figure out along the way. But what would be the first step to building this out for you? And if you're on the side of being the service-based business, then, you know, it's a completely different kind of strategy, right? It's, okay, what services are you providing? And, you know, what is your pricing strategy? Who are you serving? What is your customer target, etc.? So these are all the things that you can actually find online when you look at, like, general, just how to start a business, all the steps, etc. But at the end of the day, it is really the game of courage, because if you can take the first step to, you know, just do that one thing, to start this thing, to put yourself out there, then you're going to get the ball rolling and you're going to continue to grow it over time. So that's the thing that I wanted to talk about in terms of starting the business. So the next thing is running a business. So in this part, I'm going to talk about running a business from a general perspective, but also from the coaching business perspective, because both the coaching business and general business, everything requires emotional regulation. Everything that has to do with running a business has to do with facing your own fears and limitation and things that you're weak at. And all of those things eventually come up against us, and all of those things are meant for us to work through, overcome, handle them. And that's the thing that I really, really learned in running my business for the first year. So let's talk about time management. I think that's the most important thing. So when you're running your business, the key thing has to do with time management. But when we break it down, the time management, it's actually about energy management. So energy, like, it's not that we don't have enough time in the day. It's not that there are so many things to do, but it's actually about prioritizing where we need to focus on and what our energy is actually being productive towards. So energy management has a lot of aspects to it, but one of the big thing is when you're running a business, you want to focus on the thing that is the most important, the thing that moves the needles. Because, okay, so what does that mean? The thing that moves the needles means the things that actually create momentum, growth, profit, or the thing that is most important in your business in that moment. Because there could be 10 things that you could do in your business right now, but if most of them don't actually contribute to the most significant outcome or impact, you might not want to focus on that yet. You want to focus on the most important thing, and that's how you stay focused and prioritized. And so there's this book that I really love. It's called The One Thing. His name is by Gary. Like, I think that's his name. I'm going to have to find it. But this book is basically about setting the one goal. You have one goal, you have one task, you have one thing that you're focusing on so that you're not distracted and you're not putting your energy everywhere else into your business or et cetera in life. So it's really about staying focused and doing the things that actually matter. So that's energy management when it comes to thinking about, when people think about time management, it's really time plus energy. Another big aspect is emotional regulation and management. So when you run a business, there's a lot of emotional ups and downs, right? There are days when you feel like you're winning and you are accomplishing and you're doing such a great thing, right? You're like, yes, I got this. I was able to do this, right? I succeeded at this task. I did this. And then there are days when you feel like, damn, like, is anything happening? Is there any results? Is there any signs? Is there any progress? Is there anything that could just show me that something is working, right? So some days it feels like that. There's a lot of blank days. There are days that are really, really, you know, joyful. You feel like everything is working. There's so much opportunity. All of those days are put into this one box of chocolate, and you're not just getting caramel or vanilla or strawberry. You're getting it all. And it's like, you know, you're buying a box of chocolate and some flavors you like a lot more than others, and some of them, even though they're good to other people, but you just don't like them, let's say. And that's how I kind of see the business experience, is some experiences you will really enjoy. You will taste the chocolate and you'll be like, this is so delicious, I love it, I could eat this again and again, and I could only eat this flavor and it would be like my life would be made, right? So if you're a fan of white chocolate, like, that would be white chocolate for me. I can just eat that and that's great, right? So that could be related to an experience where you're receiving sales and you're getting new clients, or, you know, you're landing some kind of promote, like, deals or opportunities or collaboration or some sort of promotion, or your ad campaigns went well or whatever that is. So any kind of positive experience is that part in the chocolate box that is enjoyable. And then the flavors that you don't so much enjoy. So for me, like, the dark chocolate that has like the rum stuff in it, I know a lot of people like that stuff. I don't really like it. But that would be the experience of like, okay, so I don't know what I'm gonna do next. Or I don't know how this is gonna work out. Or this thing doesn't seem to be working. That needs to change. There's a lot of those experiences in running a business. And all of the experiences are for you to learn how to handle them, how to manage them, how to move through them, how to work through them. And that's a whole lot of skill in that process alone. The process of being flexible, of thinking, of critical thinking, of literally managing your emotions. Because sometimes you feel disappointment, you feel sadness, you feel a kind of any kind of anger or upset or hurt, right? If your customer says something that is negative towards your product or your services or about your brand or your company, that could affect it, right? And that's at the beginning of the stage, obviously. So obviously eventually we get to the point where those things, we take them as critical feedback and we are able to respond to them positively. But at the beginning of starting your business and running your business, these are the things you have to learn. You have to learn how to handle all these negative feedback or the challenges that are so difficult. So one of the biggest challenges that I faced in my own business has to be handling refunds. So when I started this business, so here's the thing. For 7 years, when I was doing my own coaching, meaning I was the one working with a coach, I never really asked for refunds, right? I was never in the experience where I asked for refunds from my one-on-one coach. So my experiences were overall like, you know, very just, okay, I paid and then I work with them and that's it. For my experience in running a business, and as I get in depth with the coaching industry, I start to realize that refund request is somewhat normal. It's just a matter of how much request, like the percentage of it, right? It's kind of like when you're running a product-based business and it's about like the damage, right? When you produce 1,000 products, it's not about having absolutely no damage in those 1,000 products. But it's, I mean, if you can achieve that, that's, I mean, that's more anything like perfection. That's generally not really the expectation, because that's quite unrealistic. But the expectation is, okay, 1% of damage, right? Factory, what are those calls? The damage, 1% damage, let's say. And so in service-based business as well, is it's not that you never ever deal with refund requests or a difficult client, but it's about how are you handling them and the percentage of damage that is in the whole big pie. But that was the most difficult thing for me to handle and learn about on my first year of business, because I've never handled that before in my life, right? And so it was actually an emotional thing. It wasn't so much the refund that was scary or upset or making me feel bad. It was how I interpreted that on a personal level. I made it mean that I did something wrong. I made a mistake. I wasn't good enough, or I could have done better. Like, I personalized the process instead of seeing that sometimes that's just how it is. People are just not ready for the service, or something changes. So that's just one experience, right? For people who are doing that, you know, having their business online where their faces, their names are online, they have to handle negative feedback. People commenting negative things, people disagreeing, all of those things. These are all the things that has to do with emotional regulation management that as a business owner, as an entrepreneur, and especially someone who is at the front of their business, has to handle. Because if you're in the back and you're handling more so the numbers, etc., you don't have to deal so much with customers and, you know, being the face of the business. But if you are the face of the business, then that's something that, you know, is a skill, the emotional regulation skill. And so what I have found is this game is not about whether you're good enough or you're not, or, you know, it's not about what you cannot do or you can do. The truth that I have found is that anyone can do anything they put their mind to. But more than that, it's also learning to regulate our nervous system as we're doing it. So let's take an example. Let's say somebody wants to like start a business, right? But in the past, they may have had parents telling them that they're going to be a failure, or they might have experienced a lot of bullying, or they might have, you know, had people discouraging them. Then what they're working through is essentially all of those internalized self-beliefs, right? So that person may struggle a little bit more than another person who may have received a lot more encouragement and positive like confirmation, right, from their environment. It doesn't mean that the first one cannot overcome those things and have a harder time. It just means that it's gonna take more time. The lessons are gonna be slightly different and the process is gonna be different. So what I've learned is that we cannot compare ourselves and our process to another person. How long it takes, how fast it takes, what's the result? We cannot compare any of those things because we're all handling certain challenges in our own way, in our own process. And when we can accept and honor our own process, that's when we really thrive. So I'm gonna take an example. When I first started my podcast back in 2019, I kid you not, I was so afraid to like post the episode. I had recorded, I think, 10 episodes, and I was so afraid to post even just the first one. I literally called up my best friend on that day, and I was like, listen, I need to just like hit post on this thing, and I just can't. I feel like my body is like going into fear mode. I'm so afraid. I think after I hit that post button for my episode, I actually laid in bed and cried. And I spoke to my coach at that time for a long time as to why this was so difficult for me. And what I realized and learned at that time is that because I had experienced a lot of bullying growing up, I had a lot of internalized fears and beliefs about what it means to be seen, to put my stuff out there, to allow myself, you know, to put myself out there. And that was very, very difficult for me to overcome, to handle, to even face. And I don't know how long it might have taken another person. For other people, it might have been like, yeah, I just hit the post and I'm like, it's chilling, right? But for me, it took a long, long time. It took me, after recording 10 episodes and calling up my best friend, crying on the call, talking to a lot of coaches, to overcome this thing. But yet today, I'm here being able to post, after that having posted a lot of episodes, having posted more content, making these videos. So there's definitely progress that has been made. And so this entire journey that I see, it is not about that you cannot do something. It's that you can do anything, and yet it's your nervous system is working with you to help you get there. Sometimes it may just be a bit slow, sometimes it could be fast, but essentially you're working through a lot of internalized self-beliefs, any kind of trauma, any kind of difficult challenges that you've had in the past. It could also be just limiting beliefs that you internalized from your parents, from your environment, right? So if you grew up and, you know, in an environment where your parents or the people around you think that business is extremely risky and it is not a good pursuit and it's very dangerous, you might be more cautious as you enter the business entrepreneurship route versus somebody who is so well-versed in entrepreneurship. Their parents were entrepreneurs and they are comfortable taking risks, right? So that was actually one of the advantages that I had, is that my parents have always been business owners and they're just doing their own thing. So for me, I felt like that was a natural thing for me to do, is it's natural for me to just start my own thing and run my own thing. So as you can see, we all have certain kinds of strengths, certain kind of advantages, but also weaknesses and disadvantages, and we have to work with everything in that chocolate box. So the challenges are absolutely within us most of the time, because it's really us coming up against ourselves. It's really not so much the outside world. Like, I think that's the crazy thing sometimes to sit down and really see and reflect upon, right? Because something that maybe we see as a marketing issue or marketing problem may actually be an internal fear that's coming up that has absolutely nothing to do with marketing. And that has been my experience for probably the most part of my first year, right? Another thing could be financial, right? We think that, okay, financial issue in the business is just financial, but actually there's, you know, childhood trauma or fear or things about, you know, modeled learning from our parents growing up. If our parents had any kind of addiction issue, right? If they were emotionally unavailable, or if, you know, they weren't able to provide for us, or they were always in chaos in their nervous system, that's gonna affect the way that we perceive finances as well. So all of those things are a part of the equation, and we have to create understanding and self-awareness and the depth and understanding how to work with all of them, so that we don't end up blaming ourselves and thinking, oh, my hair, and that thinking that it's all our fault and we just can't do the thing. That is not true. So let's talk about the growth, because I think the growth side of starting a business is quite tremendous. Obviously, growth looks different for everyone, and depending on your intention in terms of what kind of growth you're seeking for. But there's always growth, right? There could be a challenge for, you know, this business challenges you to have more a sense of a discipline or commitment, or, you know, being present with the problem instead of running away. Growth could come from, actually, this business challenges you to connect with other people, because your business is about connecting with people. Or the challenge in the business could be relating to numbers. Like, maybe you're somebody who was always afraid of numbers, but now the business challenges you to look at numbers. It could be all the things, the growth is absolutely endless, as well as the challenges, and actually they are very much interconnected. Wherever there's a challenge, there's huge opportunity for growth. But most of the times, the first thing we look at is like, damn, the challenge, I don't know, it seems too hard, I'm afraid, right? Like, we're kind of like, no, I don't know if I can do this. But over time, when we have kind of sit down, calm down our nervous system, we're like, okay, actually, this is growth. I need to do this. So that's been the majority of my experience. So some of the kind of things that I would suggest, that I would recommend if you were to like start your own business, right? And this is like your kind of first business, or it's like your first year in business. Something that I really recommend is really like find a good accountant. So this is something that I kind of, I guess, like overlooked. Like, I didn't really pay as much attention. I didn't know how important that was. I don't know why I kind of overlooked it, but finding a really good accountant is so important, because, you know, they really help you to get your finances and your organization when it comes to like business expense versus personal expense organized right away at the beginning, keeping your bookkeeping extremely clean and organized, which is very important so that you know your numbers, right? Accountant also, you know, helps you with a lot of any kind of like paper filing, any kind of, you know, just applying for certain things that maybe you don't know that you need to apply for, right? Having awareness of things within the accounting world that you don't know. So I would say, you know, anything that has to do with accounting, tax, finances is really good if you're starting your business, to speak or to find with like find an accountant that you can trust. So I have my accountant who's absolutely amazing. He lives in Canada. So for people who are Canadian, I'm not sure if he does any services in the States, but he may. I can always ask him if that's something that, you know, you're interested in. But he's absolutely amazing for a Canadian accountant, for people who are in Canada. Very great service, great prices, like super helpful, very supportive. So you can just reach out to me if that's something that you want, like the referral. Another one is this: don't, like, it doesn't always have to, you don't always have to speak to a lawyer. But if your business is complicated, if it has to do with like international tax, if it has to do with like legalization of anything, really like speak to a lawyer, because you can save yourself a lot of hurdles and challenges. Yeah, like a lot of fuck ups essentially. So just do that things first. Luckily for my business, it was pretty straightforward, like, you know, because I think generally the business that I'm running at this moment is quite safe. Like, I'm not physically handling someone's body as like a doctor, or, you know, I'm not providing a product that could cause like any kind of skin issues, let's say. So the legal piece in my business is quite simple as a coach. It's more so just the contracts, the agreements, right, the boundaries. But yeah, like depending on your business, you want to look at the legal things. So I want to talk about next is the financial management, because financial management is something that I think most of us grow up not learning. So financial management means different things to everyone. But essentially, one thing that I can really recommend is that you have a really good relationship with your money and your finances, because this is gonna save you a lot of struggles. What does that mean, right? For some people, that could mean, you know, budgeting, having an Excel sheet where they're like recording their stuff, right? Understanding their money, etc. For other people, it may look different. It may be, yeah, so there are all the different ways. I have gone through different phases of my life where my relationship with my own financial management was different. Where I'm at right now is I'm very good with tracking things, because what I've realized is that when I look at the numbers, I can just really see the whole picture. So right now, I tend to track a lot of things. I have the whole Excel sheet. I actually buy the financial Excel sheet on Etsy because it looks pretty, and I just track everything on there. Because I just want to see the numbers. I want to know what I'm working with, and that's really my current relationship with my finances. And when you start to see the things that you're spending, like things that you're spending and things that you're saving, or things that you're, where you're receiving your money from, you start to really have a good understanding of your finances, and it's a really great place to be. It's kind of like when you're it's kind of like when you're dating someone, right? And you're like so curious about them and you're asking them all the things, like, what's your favorite color? What do you like to eat? What was like your favorite travel destination? And like, what's your love language? Like, you're curious about that person and you're asking all the questions to get all the data. So that's how I see finances, is it's like you're dating someone and you want to know everything about them. So it's like, give me an Excel sheet with all the numbers so that I can know you. Whereas before, I have to say I was, once upon a time, a very avoidant dater when it comes to my finances. I'd be like, okay, yeah, I'm sure, like, I know where it is, whatever, I don't need to track, I don't need to do any of these things, just put it on the side. Yeah, that, generally, that did not go well for me. It was a lesson learned way later. Eventually, when I got to look at my finances, I was like, damn, like, this is how much I spent, or like, this is how much I invested in this. It was kind of shocking, but thankfully at this moment I've learned this lesson and I'm very much aware of where things are coming in and out, and I think that's really important. So that's on the financial piece. And of course, you know, when you understand, when you're trauma informed and when you're understanding, you know, the nervous system and how it works, finances is also not just about finances. Finances is also about, you know, emotional regulation and nervous system. For some of us, if we've had financial traumas from, you know, watching our parents struggle, or, you know, if you grew up in poverty, or if you grew up with just a lot of financial chaos and things like that, those things are going to affect your nervous system and your emotional regulation and how you relate yourself to money. So I want you to be really kind, compassionate to yourself when it comes to these things. And don't blame, don't judge, right? Don't be hard on yourself, but just take a small step at a time to be kind and to, you know, take care of your financial needs, whether that means picking up a book or listening to these videos, etc. Is to just be really well versed and to manage your emotion. I think that's the most important thing. So I already spoke a lot about emotional management. I think that is a whole nother topic that I can go really in depth in another day, but I think for today it's a good kind of overview in terms of just how emotional management is a big piece in running a business, especially when you have the ups and downs, right? Not every day is a beautiful day and it's sunny. Some days are raining, some days there are storms, some days it's like, it's gloomy. But we can learn to love all of them, and that's kind of the emotional management. The last thing I'm gonna end this video with, and it's one of the most important thing, is leadership and boundaries. So leadership and boundaries, these are the things that continuously evolving as we grow. Our leadership doesn't just end with leading ourselves. Of course, it starts with leading ourselves, but then it extends to, you know, leading other people and also, you know, just overall managing a business. So to me, leadership is about responsibility, and it's about like being responsible for yourself, but also being responsible for the things that you are providing into the world. Your services, your products, right? Managing your clients, or, you know, ensuring the quality, ensuring all of those things. And those, like, those aspects are a part of leadership. Leadership is also emotional management. That's a huge piece. Are you able to manage your own emotions? Because as a coach, if you are unable to manage your own emotions, how can you hold the space for another person? So leadership is also about learning to manage your own emotion, as well as having the tools, the skill sets, the continuous development for ourselves in order to cultivate that skills within us to hold the space for others. And that's another, right, another piece of leadership. Leadership is so many different things, so many different meanings, depending on the stage that you're at, the chapter that you're in, right? For some people, leadership can mean taking initiatives. Yeah, why am I trying to say initiation and then I'm like saying initiatives? But essentially, it's like starting things, getting things done. That's another form of leadership, right? So many things. It could also be people leadership. How are you creating connection and a sense of safety and belonging with other people? So leadership, the angle from leadership is going to change and it's going to shift as you continue to evolve with your business. And in every chapter and every stage, what is important to you is going to change. What is, you know, requiring you to look at is going to change. The last thing that I'm going to talk about is boundaries. So boundaries is, it sets a standard and a framework for how we manage our time, our emotion, and our energy. So when I first started my business, like I would say I was in a stage where I had decent boundaries. Like it was good enough for me to not be like being walked all over and things like that, right? But over time, I realized that my boundaries, as I improve my boundaries, everything gets better. So boundaries, emotional boundaries. Who do you give yourself, like who do you give access to, right? Who do you choose to keep the doors closed? How do you remove energies and emotions that are not yours? So these are everything that has to do with emotional boundaries. And this is very important because if you keep all of the emotions that are not yours in your body, that's the type of negative accumulation that you're keeping and you're running your your system with. And in the business setting, you're using that as fuel, and that's not good. So boundaries is really about removing the things, the emotions that are not ours, separating us from that, and really just taking ownership of our own experience. Boundaries also has to do with your time. How much time do you decide to give to this thing, this task, this client, this product, this service, this project, right? That's time boundary. And how much time do you give to other pieces, parts in your life, right? That's time boundary. There's physical boundary too. And there's also, you know, when it comes to business boundaries, and especially with the coaching industry, it's okay, what is your standard when it comes to how do you communicate with clients or the expectation of responses? Is it an immediate response? Is it a response within 72 hours? These are all of the expectations and boundaries that we have to clearly communicate and keep within ourselves and for our business. Boundaries could also be, you know, how do you, like having staff, how do you have boundaries, communication, things like that with the staff? What is the delegation on the responsibility, all of those things. So I would really encourage you, if you haven't already, to write down a list of all the different types of boundaries that are right for you, that are meaningful, that is going to serve you. And as you keep running your business and evolve, you continue to evolve this list of boundaries and you continue to implement them and you know, allow your boundaries to be something that is nourishing for you, so that you're not somebody who is, you know, overgiving, right, pleasing everybody but yourself, and completely depletes yourself of energy. So that is not good. All right, so I think today has a very great conversation topic. I think this topic is going to unfold and expand, and there's going to be more and more to come in the future. But for today, I'm going to end it here. And if you have any question, you can leave it in the comment. You can also message me directly. If you found this video helpful, please share with me what's been helpful for you. You can share it with those that you love, your friends, any of your family. And if there's anything that I can support you beyond this video, such as private coaching, group coaching, then feel free to message me for that as well. Other than that, I wish you a beautiful day. Thank you so much for tuning in to today's conversation with me. It's been a wonderful time together, and I will see you in the next video. Bye.